everyone, and welcome back to another edition of The Daily Dose, your yachting, sailing, and boating news source. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central European Time and midnight Eastern Standard Time. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I just want to take this opportunity to thank those that sent me emails of encouragement. They're very much appreciated. If you like what you see and you want to see more of it, please do hit the subscribe button, because that's how I get paid. We're going to head over to the States right away. There's a scammer everywhere. Boat Owners Association of the United States, Boat US, is advising boaters with vessels that have a U.S. Coast Guard certificate of documentation to be wary of any letter arriving by U.S. mail offering renewal. Boat US advises that while the Coast Guard does send official annual renewal notices by U.S. mail, other notices being received by Boat US members are not from the Coast Guard, but rather third-party companies whose name or return addresses may appear similar to that of the official U.S. Coast Guard National Vessel Documentation Center. Boat US members have complained that these letters direct them to websites that may be mistaken for the actual Coast Guard NVDC located in Falling Waters, West Virginia. And they also appear to show a significant increase in the annual fee to renew Coast Guard documentation. A 2017 Coast Guard issued a bulletin says in part, the NVDC is aware that there are commercial entities that offer to manage the certification renewal process on behalf of vessel owners for a fee. The Coast Guard does not endorse any of these companies, and the companies do not operate on behalf of the Coast Guard in any way. Any fees charged or agreements offered by such companies are in no way associated with the NVDC certification process. In addition, these companies are not authorized to issue any form of documentation, including travel letters and or permits that offer authorized operation of any vessel. Customer complaints can be made through the Federal Trade Commission's website, which we will provide, while third-party companies may legitimately provide services to assist with vessel documentation renewals. The Coast Guard's own renewal process is simple for most vessels, and the price ranges from $26 for 1 year up to $130 for a five-year expiration, which is often much lower than what third-party services may charge. This next story is as well of the U.S. Now, we know that last year, because of COVID and all the restrictions and, you know, the issues the year before with shipping, there was a huge shortage of the raw materials and a huge shortage of some of the parts that were needed because they were produced in other areas. And boating boomed in the U.S. throughout the pandemic. So it's been a bit of a rough road, but good news is on the horizon for boaters in the U.S. Last year at this time, the boating industry was struggling with supply chain issues, but this year they're ready to hit the water. It's a battle that lasted months on end. Stuff I ordered last fall, I finally got this spring, so it's been a challenge, said Dutch Dyke, head coach at Your Boat Club. Dyke said things are finally starting to take a turn, which is news to his ears as we get closer to Memorial Day weekend and the start of summer. It's been a very unique situation. I think we've all grasped delayed gratification to a certain extent. We've been forced into that. In some ways, that's good, and in some ways, it's not, because we are so used to getting everything immediately. Now, Dyke says he is finally filling out his backlog, getting the parts he needs to help customers in time for the boating season. So great news for the U.S. They can continue having, you know, all the fun. And actually, this evening, there is an interview that is airing on Yachting International Radio, Yacht Crew Logs. And we do discuss quite a bit about the boating industry in the U.S. and how it's changed and where it's going. It's a company called Seato. So if you're interested in that, it will be airing at 6 p.m. CET or 12 noon EST. So that's another interesting interview. So do tune in for that. Now we head over to the area by Gibraltar, heading over to the Mediterranean Sea. There has been another orca attack as of April of this year. Now, I didn't realize it last I guess it was 2020, July, June or July 2020, just as the Spain was coming out of the lockdown. That's when these orca attacks started. Now, I think it may have something to do with the fact that they had 3 months of absolutely no activity in the area, and they were able to feed. They weren't injured by boats. Scientists say that some of the activity in the water, it damages their hearing or it bothers them. And of course, it's been notorious for a long time that they battle a lot of fishermen in the area in order to provide for their families, well, in order to eat. But there is an actual Facebook group that has also been set up because it has continued from June 2020 straight through, obviously, until this recent incident. And the Facebook group will tell you things like where the last sighting was, where the last attack was. And the odd thing is they tend to go for the rudder. And every time, each one of these stories that I read, it seems like when they finally got the rudder and they've ripped it off the boat is when they eventually leave the boat alone. In this most recent story, husband and wife were sailing a 40-footer and they were going to Tangiers from, I think it was Spain or Portugal to Tangiers. Anyway, they encountered them once. They sat there for 2 hours. They went away because they, you know, shut everything down and just sat peaceful. They went away, sat for another couple of hours, and then they decided to head over to Tangier because they were pretty much central between Spain and Tangier. As soon as they started underway again, the orcas came back, and there were three of them. And that seems to be the method of the attack, is there's usually three or four. So for any of you that are planning on going through that area, please do look out. I will try and do the research to find the Facebook site so that I can provide that information to you, just so that we can keep you safe as well. Heading back over to the States, Formula One pictured a race in Miami and envisioned sun, sand, beaches, and boats. So when the inaugural Miami Grand Prix landed at Hard Rock Stadium, nowhere near the South Beach backdrop F1 was seeking, the promoter said, "Don't worry. F1 wants boats in a suburban neighborhood? Done." They built a fake marina with fake water and all. Well, it's not really water at all. In the Maya Marina, located between turns 4 and 6 at the purpose-built venue around the Miami Dolphins Stadium, it can be found in Miami Gardens, a landlocked neighborhood some 15 miles away from F1's initial desired downtown location. It isn't exactly Monaco, but the man-made marina is a 25,000 square foot dry dock designed to look like water. The 10 yachts are real. One appears to be booked by Michael Mack, the local founder of Celebrity Sports Entertainment. One waved the British flag, another is named Wheels, but the water is just plywood that's been covered in a decal. Tickets to the yacht club started at $9,500 up to $38,000 for a 4-person pass. Now, I don't know about you, but from the pictures, it is the tackiest thing that I have ever seen. Monaco's Monaco, Miami is Miami. Don't try to mimic Monaco because there's nothing that is going to match that. Have your own identity. It doesn't matter how much money you throw at creating a harbor, and they didn't do it very well, I have to admit. And there was 10 boats, and they weren't like super yachts. They were just 10 boats. You saw a lot of people, there's a lot of pictures that people are pretending to jump into the water and they're pretending to swim on top of the water. And on the side of it, from all the pictures, it looks like whatever material that they used, they covered it up with some sort of cloth. And the cloth was made to look like sand or wood or something. I don't know, but in my opinion, it was extremely tacky, and I'm never going to be invited to Formula One now, like ever, but that's okay. I'm not a fan necessarily. It was attended very well. They had, I think, up to 85,000 people per day, and of course, there was people like Michelle Obama and Kim Kardashian and all the stars in the U.S. went down for the day. So, you know, by all accounts, it was a smashing success, and they're really pleased with it. But personally, I've just never seen anything so tacky in my life. Make sure to tune in on Thursday for Yahoo Vlogs, because I contacted Bill Springer, who is a feature writer over at Forbes. And of course, he attends every single F1 Grand Prix, anything really, Monaco Yacht Show, jet launches. And he had his feet on the ground there. He's got a few pictures, and hopefully we'll be able to share them with you on Thursday evening, of him sitting on one of the yachts. It's not even a yacht, really. But I've asked him to come on because I want to discuss the differences between Miami and Monaco, and what he felt. I mean, of course, he's going to be treated like a god there, but you know, how he felt the entire experience was compared to Monaco. And we're also going to be discussing the inaugural Vegas event that's coming up too. Hopefully they're not going to build a fake marina and dry dock boats. Maybe they'll think of something original. Anyways, that's it for today. And I thank you guys all for tuning in. Remember, if you like it, hit subscribe. We do appreciate that. Yeah, and tune in again. Same time, same place tomorrow morning for your daily dose of yachting, sailing, and boating news. My name is Rhea. I have been your host.